I'd like to look at a familiar passage and a much used passage in Joshua, 24th chapter of Joshua, 14th verse. It says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him sincerely, in sincerity, in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose ye this day." I think it's an amazing thought that in all the great universe that God made, that He give us choice. That we have choice is just a remarkable thought to me, of all that happens and how small I seem to be in it all, and yet He crowned us with choice. It is one of the greatest things to have choice. But we also have, with that choice, been given responsibility. We do have choice. If you will tonight, think about, let your mind visualize this, that you're standing on the brink of eternity. And you see heaven, and you see hell, and in that moment you're given a choice. Which way will you go? It's up to you. Well, I'd be willing to say that most everybody, by a large part, would go to heaven. I think they would want to go to heaven in that moment. But that's not the way that it works. That's not what happens in life. I heard a guy say something that it just really got my attention. It made so much sense to me. It was a man that was an atheist. I think he thought he was anyway. And he was talking to this religious man, a minister of some kind, and he made the comment that he said, I'm an open-minded person. But I find it impossible for me to come down to the fact that to believe a book that was written so long ago. I just find it impossible to believe. When I look around me and look for the evidence of God, he said, I don't have any. I don't have any evidence of God. But yet you're telling me, if I fail to believe the book, if I fail to see a God that's invisible, that I'm somehow going to end up in hell. And he said, I just can't believe that. I can't live with that. And the man said back to him, you're not understanding what it is. And he said this. He said, hell is God's complement to the integrity of man. And when he said that, I said, wow, I never thought of it that way. That God created us and put so much integrity on the idea of man's free will, that we are so important that we can decide for ourselves. And he told this guy, he said, think of this. You are saying in this life that you do not want holiness. You don't want righteousness. You don't want those good things. Then what kind of a God would it be to make you live in eternity with it? Think of that. Hell is God's compliment to the integrity of man. If you love wickedness, if you choose wrong over right, God don't want to put you in eternity with good things when you don't want good things. He will compliment your choice. If you don't want the good things, we don't have the privilege of coming up to the brink of eternity and seeing both sides and saying, oh, well, I want this side. No, we make the choice while we live this life. We make the choice. And when people want to be murderers, you think of somebody that wants to be a murderer and have hate in their heart, then why would God, how would they feel about being in the presence of a loving God? You wouldn't, if I love lying, why would I want to spend eternity in a place of truth? God is going to compliment your integrity of your choice. Whatever you want to choose of this life, you'll get it. Now I'm going to tell you, that makes me tremble. Because we make the choices as we go through life. We don't think about it like this maybe, but I want you to think about it tonight. When we do choose those things, you know, we're choosing a little bit of hell. That's not heaven. Those things ain't... Hate is not from heaven. Well, and if I choose that, that's saying I don't want to be in eternity with a loving God. I'm choosing hate. And I look at our world around us, and it is true. That's what they're doing. They are choosing the hate. Well, this scripture here, he says, all these gods and all that, do you know they still had the opportunity to serve the gods that their fathers had served on the other side of the flood? They could have still worshipped the Egyptian gods that they were so tainted with, that their fathers had. They could have worshipped all of them. But he's saying to them, choose you this day. And that choice can run with you forever. If you don't change that, it can run with you forever. If those are the things you want to think, that I may get an eternity full of that. That is an amazing thought to me. So I want to look at another scripture. Well, I want to start with... Numbers. Let's start in Numbers. 13th chapter of Numbers. Numbers 13. I don't think I'm going to read all of this, but we'll kind of go through it. I think this is where I'm wanting it. I'm thinking about this where it was time for them, they had come up, and it's time for them now to go into the land of Canaan. So they come up and interested in what they was up against, so they decide, and you can read that, and they send the 12 spies over into the land of Canaan, and they go over into the land of Canaan, and they spy out the land. And I am sure that those men were just like we are. They saw it through their experience. They saw it through their life. They saw it through their fears. They saw it through their eyes. Each man saw it through their eyes. They had remembrance of it. They saw the good things and the bad. They saw the worth. They saw the things of that. They saw the giants and every man's. Didn't seem to be an argument when they got back about what they saw. But the interpretation then was different. You can read that there. But they come back and they gave the report that it's as advertised. It's as advertised. It's a fruitful place. It flows with milk and honey. All these things are there, but there is something else there. There's something else. What's there is the enemy. There's giants over there. Well, and then some of them come back and they say they're all over there, and the two, and you can read that, Caleb, and he steals the people in the 30th verse and says, before Moses, and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Well able. I don't think there was any doubt about to Caleb what his choice was about the whole thing. His choice was fairly clear. There was a little bit of faith and a little trust in God, and it won't be long while we'll be kicked back in our easy chairs over here and got the promise. But the other ones come in and said, not so. We got a difference of opinion here. 10 of us say that it's not so. They eat up the inhabitants of the land. They're giants over there. They're huge over there. And they eat them up. And the people's hearts melted. And they made a choice. They made a choice not to follow the Lord. They made a choice not to believe. They made a choice to allow fears to overcome what the Lord had said and promised, and it had come down in their heritage to get that land. Listen, this is astounding. It's very important. Because this group of people is the ones that come out of Egypt. These were the ones that experienced, we read about it. They experienced making the bricks without straw. They experienced the plagues. They experienced the death of the firstborn and the Passover. They experienced the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They experienced the Red Sea experience. They had experienced these experiences. God is working with them and proving to them and shut their gods down and proved himself to them, or thought they could to them, what God was and what he wanted them to do. And now they come down and it's time to make a choice. And they didn't make the good choice. And you can look over in the 14th chapter of that, and he actually says to them that they despised the land. God was very upset at these people. And what I wanted to get at, they didn't get to go in. You say, well, God chose that. No, he didn't. They chose that. They said, let us make captains and we'll return to Egypt. You know what I'm saying? The choice was set for them. You're standing on the brink. And here is heaven and here is hell. They're standing, they could have made the decision to trust God and go right on in and conquer the land. And their decision was, no, I'm not going to do that. We're not going to do that. And they wept all night. They were so disappointed. And then, there comes the judgment on them. If you don't want the land that I have prepared for you and give to you by the will of God as a gift, then go back to Egypt. Then wander in the wilderness the rest of your life. But they made that choice. And you know that it's going to be that way in our life?
Don't think tonight that you can dally around, as Brother Sam has always said, or play around with God and make choices against God's nature, and that you will then someday live in that nature. When we despise the things of God, we're going to despise ourselves right out of God. On this life, we say, if holiness isn't something that I seek for and want in my life, then why would I want to spend eternity right in the very presence of it? And God won't do it either. It's such a challenge that God set it up to be this way that I'm going to ultimately get what I want. I'm going to get what I want. And it's not going to be just because I say the words. It's going to be by the demonstration of my life and what I choose in life. I am not going to be able to entertain myself with the filth of this world and then get to be in the presence of God when I die. I'm choosing the seeds for the other side. That's what I'm going to do in this life. That's why we talk of a very careful life. When it comes down to these kind of choices between the two. Now I've got a choice that I'm either going to choose the right and the holy and the good. I'm going to choose where God is, or I'm going to choose this other side. I better be very careful about that choice. The generation that did not go over there, The Lord said they was going to die in the wilderness. I think it was everybody that was over 20 or something. I mean, whatever. But He allowed them to wander over there, and the young ones that wasn't able to make the choice. You understand what I'm saying? These people wasn't old enough to make that choice. And God gave them, He didn't punish them. He allowed them to come up to the Jordan and say, do you know that the same enemy was over there 40 years later? The same river was there to have to cross, the same mountains to have to climb, the same walled cities is over there, the same giants are over there. That there was four. And then, so God says, the last generation, they didn't go, so they'll not ever get it. The promise of all those generations ago, of Abraham, of all that promise that come down to them, and they stepped right up to the brink in their choice and didn't go. And God said, then you'll never go. And then the next generation comes up and says, let's go. Let's go. And God took them right over in to that land. Well, Lord help us, because we're in trying times. We're in the trying times. We're in the times now. And I would that the Lord would help us to realize and to think, and as we go through this life, of the choices that we make. Because they really are eternal choices. Alright. I want to look at another scripture. Oh. This and... I want to look in Acts 4, I think. Fourth chapter of Acts. And we'll read a little of this. It says, and as they spake, this first verse, unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas, a high priest, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there any salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, or none name given under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against him. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they may speak henceforth to the man in this name." I guess I go around almost in a daily, on a daily basis, and I marvel at us humans. Here's people that said, according to this passage, that's a notable miracle. What are we going to say about that? It's notable to everybody. It's obvious. Now you would think that to be able to say something like that would have to have been followed up by, "Let's investigate this and see more. This is pretty good." But, right? You know, sometimes we think that if God would just prove it. Folks, if God hasn't proven it to you by now. I mean, honestly, what's the Lord going to have to do? Right here is humanity. They had their own thing going, and they said this is notable. The man was healed. There's no doubt about that. I think if they'd have been truthful, they would have also said, I mean, do you notice that passage says that, and Peter being full of the Holy Ghost? Being full of the Holy Ghost and saying what you're saying isn't being like just saying what you're saying. You can say the same words that Peter said and it not carry any weight. But it made a point to say that he was full of the Holy Ghost. And being full of the Holy Ghost means that it's going to touch you where you're at. These men had to be touched. And they saw the miracle. Everything was put in place for them to make a choice for the heavenly things. And they turned around and chose the things from hell. Deceit. Denial. You know, the biggest sin that you can do is denying the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's going to get us all. When I talk about choosing these other things, that they're bad. I mean, you could call sin, or you could call it evil, or you can call it wicked. But the worst thing is that it is a direct conflict with the Lord Jesus. And we're choosing that and neglecting the Lord. We are actually, we should place everything in the concept of whether or not I could stand with my arm around Jesus and his around me, and it'd be acceptable. Because if it's not, then I'm denying the Lord in my life. I'm denying that place. I'm rejecting Christ and his leadership in my life. This was done by the Holy Ghost. And they chose totally the wrong thing. And I have to look at that and take note. Is there things in my life that would cause me to make a decision like that? A safe face type thing? Get along with people type thing? Whatever it is there things in my life that would make me make a decision like that? To deny the very workings of God? I want to read this again a bit. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we can't deny it." Why did they want to? But ask yourself, why did they want to? Is truth that hard to swallow? Lord, help us. Is it that difficult for me to want the truth? When a minister comes and he's putting it to me and I have to say, yeah, am I trying to deny that? Or is there some place that I can get around that? What am I going to do to make it not hit me? It ought to be the opposite. No, I'll take that. It's a choice. It's a choice. Hell is God's compliment for the integrity of man. If I want deceit, it's not in heaven. If I love deceit and craftiness and delusion, that's not in God's heaven. And God is not going to make me spend eternity with it when I don't want it. He's going to allow me to have all the deceit and illusions and everything that I can have for eternity. Mistrust isn't in heaven. If I want to have mistrust, I've got to go to the other place to get mistrust. It isn't in God's heaven. If I want bitterness and cruelty, hey, it isn't in God's heaven. That's in the other place. When I choose to be proud and arrogant in life, hey, heaven isn't full of the proud and the arrogant. God has no pride and arrogance in Him. So why would I be comfortable there when I choose that? I'm not going to be comfortable there. God's going to compliment the integrity of man. He's going to say, "You, if that's what you want, I'll give it to you, and I'll give it to you forever." What a stirring thought that I'm making my eternity now. I'm building something somewhere. It is why it's so necessary for the grace of God to help us to overcome the things. I'm going to contrast this scripture with a man. He's my favorite, probably my favorite character in the New Testament. Nicodemus. I just feel like Nicodemus was such an easy man to understand for me. And he comes by night. I know the man was wrestling. And he comes to the Lord and says, "We know that you're of God." You can find that in the third chapter of John. "We know you're of God." Well, nobody else was saying that in his sphere. They was calling him Beelzebub. But Nicodemus wasn't. I'm going to tell you, this Holy Ghost thing really got on Nicodemus. Something was stirring in an honest heart there. And all that he had learned, and all he was supposed to be, and what made sense in life, and all that kind of stuff. And now here Nicodemus is having to deal with the truth. You know, I run into that one time in my life. I got saved over in a little community type church, and I went to church one time with my grandma to these crazy people over in Green Bank, called themselves Church of God. It was so different than everybody else, and it's kind of strange. And I went over there. First time I was over there, the singing started, and the Lord witnessed to me and said, "This is it." And I'm going to tell you, you might have thought that was a time to jump up and shout, "Oh, glory, hallelujah," but that's not what I felt. It wasn't that this is glory, hallelujah, the truth. It was, "Oh, no, this is the truth." But I knew that in my heart it was the truth. This is real. This is the truth. Nicodemus comes by night. And then I like it because the honesty that he had, and he was willing to take away. You know, we hold in reserve with one another. We hold in reserve. "I'm only going to give so much, so I'll have some reserve." Not Nicodemus. We know you're of God. Boy, there's no reserve left now. I'm going to have to listen to everything the man says. I just said he was from God. Now, how am I going to say you're wrong? You're of God, but you're wrong. It doesn't match. And Nicodemus knew it. And he just surrenders the idea, surrendered his old self and said, man, we know you're of the Lord. We know you're of God. For no man can do these miracles. I know that's true. It's been enough for me. I know that it's true. I like Nicodemus. He made a choice different than this. Oh, maybe Nicodemus didn't come to it all that night that the Lord talked to him. I think he went home scratching his head. I think he went home praying, and I think he went home seeking. But he did it. Nicodemus is not a casualty of Scriptures. Do you know that? Nicodemus was a success in Scriptures. There was a day that he didn't care who saw him. He done it in a day. He helped with the Lord's body. He done it in a day. Nicodemus, he come around from this. You know, he made a choice. First of all, he made a choice to go to the Lord in the night. Again, he did. Well, I'm going to say that he didn't want the conflict. But he made a choice to start on a pathway that was leading to heaven. And he accepted the Lord Jesus. I believe that. He accepted that. Against everything that he was, it cost him everything. But he wasn't the only one. There's another man in the Scriptures. He was a zealous man, and he was on the pursuit. He had got letters from the high priest. He's going to go to Damascus, and he's going to take care of interesting of Christians. He's going to take correct care of them. And he was even persecuting women and children. Boy, that must have felt good. Oh yeah, we'll pull them out and beat them and throw them in jail. Must have felt good to him to lay down at night. You know, Paul was like Nicodemus in one sense. He was ignorant in the sense that he thought that he was doing God's will, and it's all that he ever knew, and God knew it, and God met him. And when he met him, he said, what would you have me to do? What do you have me to do? I'm standing at the choice. You know, I don't think that he was ever proud of that persecution that he had put on those people. But I think that it was a great testimony of where he came from and what God made him to be and helped him to understand. But I'm going to tell you, he made a choice in his life to serve the Lord with all of his heart. I believe that he gave all of his heart. And he made that decision to do that. And we are faced with the same situations in our life because we live in such a wicked world. Now, it isn't like when I grew up. When I grew up, if you got television reception, even where I grew up, we grew up in the mountains, it was probably different here. But when you even got that, you had to climb the mountain, put an antenna up on the hill up there. And then you got one channel, unless a limb fell on your line or something like that. And that's a little bit of the entertainment that you did. And those kinds, it isn't like that today. I'm not saying that that was wholesome. I'm just simply saying you was limited in what you did in a lot of those kind of things. And the world's changing. And it's much easier to involve yourself into anything that your heart can go for. It's just easy to do. You can do it I don't keep up on, I know now, but this has been a while back. I was talking to a young man and he was saying how easy he was into this stuff and how easy it was. And I simply said, well, you need to watch your, you need to check your environment, make sure that you can't do it. You know, put a barrier around it. I said, what situations are you in? He pulls out his gadget and said, I can do it right now. So right here in the chapel, right here at the altar, and they're right here. That's how easy it is. Really? Yeah, really? It's going to be a choice. It's going to be a choice. And it's going to be one that every one of us is going to have to make. And if the things don't belong in God's heaven, don't think you're going to pack it there. If it don't belong there and you choose it here, you're choosing something different. When you choose the Lord Jesus, do you know what you're choosing? You're choosing righteousness and truth and mercy and love. We're choosing those things when we choose the Lord. We're choosing wholesome things. We're choosing the good things. things of life. That's what we're choosing. And all that, we would like to thank God, stop me. Lord, do something. You know, Lord's merciful and He'll help us poor people. But your ultimate choice is something that He will not do, because He complements the integrity of man with His will and His desire of what He wants. And that's incredible to me. I don't feel like I'm much of a being until I think of that. And to think that God put that on me, that I can actually choose against all that God is or whatever He wants of me, and I can choose against that great God to be what I want to be. And I can be that for eternity if I want to. I can hate you for eternity if I want to. I can have bitterness in my heart for eternity if I want to. I can have lust. I can have evil. I can have any of those things in my heart eternally if I want to. And God won't change it. He will give me that for eternity. But it won't be with Him. And why would it be? It's altogether different than what He is. He would have to go against my will to even make me go there when I don't want to go there. I don't want that stuff. I don't want to sit with a bunch of saints and sing songs of the Lord. I don't want to forgive people. I don't want to have that. No, I want unforgiveness. I want wickedness. I want to hurt people. And those, well, there's your choice. Lord, help us. That would be real is what I pray. That would be real in our minds and in our hearts. Look with me in Ecclesiastes 11th chapter. Ninth verse. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. This is quite a scripture. He's saying you're young men, young ladies, go for it. Go for it. In your youth, do all that you can. You all can do things that us old guys can't do. You've got life ahead of you. Experience it. Do whatever you feel like doing. Whatever your eyes look at, go. Whatever your heart goes after, do it. He's actually saying that, do it. But never forget this as you do. Know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Let that be tempered. Let that be tempered. You want to do that. You want to experience life and newness of life. And you want to experience what I've experienced in life and be fulfilled with life. And you want to do that. So do it. But know this. For every choice you make in life, you will be brought into judgment for it. And if that choice isn't going to meet the requirements of God's heaven to where you can be, God will not go over your will to have it. And you can have it for eternity if you want to. So as you seek life and the enjoyments of life and the excitements of life, who doesn't want a good, exciting, fulfilled life? Well, I want it. I don't want life to be humdrum and no experiences of life. I want to experience life. Mine's more in nature, but I want to catch a big fish, and I want to climb a high mountains, and I want to have those experiences in life. And I see things that I look at and say, I'd like to do those things, and well, it's running out on me. Running out on me. I look at the mountain now and say, well, I'd like to climb that. 20 years ago, I'd like to climb that. I don't feel like climbing it now. My knees are too sore to climb up there now. I'd like to do it in my spirit, but my body sure don't want to climb up there. You're young. But know this. You're going to have to come down in judgment on that. Now, I'm thankful that we have Jesus. I'm thankful that Jesus took that stuff for us. I'm thankful that the decision that we can make in the Lord can take care of all that stuff, because I've done a lot of things I don't want to come in judgment on me in my youth and foolishness. And I thank God that I made a choice, and I'm glad that I have the choice to make. that I have chosen the one that come from heaven. And I choose him. And I want to be like him so that I can be fit for there. That's the only thing that gets us there anyway. Do you know really, us just endeavoring to try to do good isn't going to get us to heaven anyway. You'll fail in all of that. But it's our desire. Oh, the Lord. Now, I have no doubt that the Lord was loving. I have no doubt that the Lord was righteous. I have no doubt that the Lord was forgiving. I don't have no doubt that he's patient. He should have been patient with me. I don't have no doubt of his character. But in order for me to make it there, I'm going to have to be like he is. By his grace, he's got a grace. Thank God that he's got a grace. So it says, follow those things, but never forget in the pursuit of it that you're going to take it all to judgment with you. Every bit of it. And one more scripture. Over in, Mark, I think the 8th chapter. Thirty-five. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in glory of his Father and with his holy angels. Again, Lord help us, that's quite a stirring idea. That whoever ever doesn't choose, that doesn't choose it enough to give himself for it. You know, they tried to repent over there with when they come up that Canaan and didn't go in. And then they tried to turn around and say, we're going in. And Moses said, you can go, but the Lord ain't going with you. To think that there's not only the idea of choice, but there's no fraudulent in this choice. You can't fake God out about this. You can fake me out, but you can't fake God out. We can have a religious pretense easily. Most of us can pull it off. But this is where the rubber meets the road. This is in this adulterous and sinful world. To not be ashamed of the Lord or his words. That's choosing that. That is to say, that is more important than even my life is. That is where I belong. That's where I'm going to go. And the Lord says, if you don't and you're ashamed in this life, to mean it, to stand up for it, to project it out of your life, to make a choice that yes, I am going with the Lord. And I'm going full out. I'm going all for the Lord. It's my choice. And if I'm not, he puts a warning on that. That he's going to come. And he's going to be ashamed of us. When we haven't made that. But when he looks and says, here's one that wasn't ashamed of me. He projected a life of holiness. This is what this is talking about. It's more than just some kind of pretense of religion. It's the projection of your life that you are a saint of God, that you're saved, that you care about these things. Why wouldn't we want everybody to know that we're Christian? That we serve the Lord? Why wouldn't we want that? We ought to want everybody to know, I've got one life. If I had 10,000, Lord, I'd give them all to you. Well, I don't have 10,000. I've only got one. And I better make sure that I give it to him. Because, you know what? He's going to allow me my choice. And if I want to keep my life, he'll let me keep it. If I want to be a hypocrite, he'll let me be a hypocrite. But I'm going to tell you something. There's no hypocrites over there in heaven. Them's all true, genuines over there. There are no hypocrites over there. I'm a hypocrite my way through. That's all right. You choose to be a hypocrite and fake us all out. But you can't go to heaven being a hypocrite because hypocrites don't belong there. That's a choice. They belong somewhere else. Those that don't stand up for the Lord, that place is full of people that gave everything for it. That died martyred for it. That were burnt. That was crucified. They gave everything for that. That's what's over there in God's heaven. We can choose it or not choose it. You can choose that it ain't worth anything. You can choose that this old religion, I'll give it when I can and I'll throw it away when I have to. That's okay. But people that throw it away ain't over there. People that's willing to throw it away ain't over there. People that are ashamed of the Lord and His words, they're not over there. These are people that live for the Lord and were glad that they did and stood up for it and lived for it. So folks, we have a choice. And the choice is a daily exercise of heaven or hell. I mean, to think of that. It's a daily exercise of heaven or hell. I choose in my life the elements of hell or heaven all through my life. When I choose to contact the Lord, it's heavenly. And when I choose to indulge myself into the flesh, it ain't over there. It's of this world. It's of the devil. It belongs to the other world. God's hell is a God's compliment to the integrity of man. And He's not going to make you live in His heaven when you never wanted it. Lord, help us to want it. You pray for me.